Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Beaverland: How One Weird Rodent Made America is a nonfiction book by Layla Philip that blends environmental history, reportage, and literary nonfiction to examine the North American beaver as both a biological species and a major force in human history. Centered on the argument that beavers helped shape the ecological and economic development of North America, the book follows the animal's influence from indigenous landscapes and the fur trade to modern conservation debates. Philip presents the beaver not as a minor wildlife subject, but as a keystone species whose dam-building behavior altered waterways, wetlands, settlement patterns, and resource extraction. The book also connects historical inquiry to present-day environmental concerns, especially drought, wildfire, flooding, and climate resilience. Its purpose is both explanatory and corrective to show how a creature often treated as a nuisance has been fundamental to the continent's past and may be useful in its ecological future. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the beaver as a keystone species that reshaped North American landscapes. A central idea in Beaverland is that beavers are not just another animal in the ecosystem, but engineers of habitat at continental scale. Philip explains how dam building, pond creation, and stream alteration transform forest into wetlands and create conditions that store water, slow runoff, and support biodiversity. This ecological role gives the book its core scientific and historical claim the beaver materially changed the land before and after European settlement. The argument matters because it repositions the animal from a wildlife curiosity to a driver of ecological structure. Instead of treating nature as separate from human history, Philip shows that biological behavior can influence the geography on which economies and settlements develop. The book therefore uses the beaver to make a broader point about landscape formation and the long-term consequences of species that actively modify their environment. Secondly, how the fur trade turned beavers into a major engine of American expansion. Another major topic is the economic history of the beaver fur trade and its role in the making of America. Philip traces how demand for beaver pelts helped stimulate exploration, trapping, commercial networks, and westward expansion. This history is important because it links a single animal to larger structures of capitalism, wealth accumulation, and imperial growth. The book shows that beavers helped create fortunes, companies, and trade routes, while also contributing to overexploitation and near extinction. By following the fur trade, Philip reveals how early American economic development depended on extracting value from wildlife and frontier land. The analysis is not simply about commerce, but about how markets shape ecosystems and how natural abundance can be rapidly depleted when turned into commodity supply. This makes the book relevant to readers interested in environmental history and the origins of resource-driven expansion in North America. Thirdly, indigenous knowledge and the long human relationship with beaver landscapes. Philip gives sustained attention to indigenous relationships with beavers and to the deeper history of the continent before industrial extraction transformed it. The book emphasizes that native communities understood and lived within beaver-shaped landscapes long before fur traders and settlers treated them as commodities. This matters because it complicates the common story of environmental history as a sequence of European discovery and exploitation. Instead, Beaverland presents the beaver as part of an older social and ecological world in which indigenous knowledge recognized water, habitat, and animal labor as interconnected. By including native perspectives and environmental advocates, Philip broadens the meaning of conservation beyond wildlife management alone. The result is a more accurate account of land stewardship, one that values coexistence and local ecological understanding. This topic also helps explain why restoration efforts today often draw on indigenous practices and on respect for the species' historic role in shaping rivers and wetlands. Fourthly, from near extinction to conservation tool, the modern beaver restoration movement, the book also explores the beaver's dramatic shift in public meaning. From hunted resource to conservation ally, after centuries of trapping pushed populations down, beavers have become the focus of restoration work by scientists, wildlife managers, and grassroots advocates who see them as useful partners in landscape repair. Philip follows people who try to protect beavers, reintroduce them, or manage conflicts with landowners, showing that conservation is as much a social process as a biological one. This section of the book is significant because it frames restoration as a negotiation between human land use and animal engineering. Beavers can flood roads, fields, or property, yet their dams also create habitat and improve water retention. Philip does not romanticize these tensions. Instead, she uses them to show why modern conservation must balance ecological benefit with practical coexistence. The book is therefore an argument for more flexible management strategies that account for both human needs and the species' ecological value. Lastly, beaver engineering as a response to drought, wildfire, and climate instability. Beaverland stands out for connecting historical ecology to current climate concerns. Philip presents beaver dams and wetlands as forms of natural water infrastructure that can help buffer landscapes against drought, flooding, declining groundwater, and wildfire. This makes the book more than a historical narrative, it becomes a case for rethinking land and water management in an era of climate stress. The logic is practical rather than idealistic. If beavers hold water in place, build wetlands, and create firebreaks, then their presence can support watershed resilience in ways human systems often struggle to match. Philip uses this idea to challenge the assumption that effective environmental management must be purely technological or human-centered. Instead, she suggests that working with beaver behavior may offer a low-cost, adaptive strategy for ecological restoration. This topic gives the book contemporary relevance and explains why it has attracted attention from readers interested in climate adaptation and conservation policy. In conclusion, Beaverland: How One Weird Rodent Made America is best suited for readers of environmental history, nature writing, conservation science, and anyone interested in how animal behavior can shape human society. It will appeal to readers who want a book that is grounded in research but written with literary clarity, as well as to those looking for a broader understanding of climate resilience, wetland restoration, and the history of the fur trade. Its practical benefit is that it changes how readers think about waterways, land management, and wildlife conflict by showing that beavers are not merely animals to control but ecological partners with measurable landscape effects. Its intellectual value lies in its unusual scope. Philip connects indigenous history, early American capitalism, ecological engineering, and present-day conservation within a single narrative. Compared with many books about wildlife, it is more historical and more policy aware. Compared with many history books, it is more ecologically grounded. That combination makes it distinctive in the nonfiction field and gives it lasting relevance beyond a single natural history topic. If you would like to support Layla Philip, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.